Good morning. Super excited to have you all with us this morning. I pray that your time in your Sunday school class was great and you enjoyed that. One of the things that I had shared with my Sunday school, man, this is very, what'd you do, Brad? Did y'all not put any deodorant on this morning? What's up, man? This is packed over here, and nobody's in the center. Right here. I feel you, man. Okay. I just wanted to kind of remind you of this, and I'm sure your Sunday school teacher did that. But, man, the book of James, I would encourage you, and I would always say this for your Sunday school lessons, man, really dig into the book of James. It has so much value. It's a very, very practical book. You're not going to need to get out your Strong's Concordance to really understand what's going on in James. It just has so much value and so much. It is so applicable to what you're going through in 2022. Man, dig into that. I just can't encourage you enough. If you've got your bulletins, let's take a look here. Crack those open. A couple things there. You see a note from the Wilhoit family. I would extend that as well. It's just thank you all for your service, for everyone who brought food. It's what church should do. It's what a church should gather. Kids and parents, mark your calendars. October 30th, Fall Festival is going down, right? It's going to be a Fall Festival from old. It's going to be in the Fellowship Hall. There's going to be games. There's going to be candy. There's going to be food. It's going to be crazy, all right? A main thing is that, and the games are going to involve, obviously, treats, candy. In the Hallelujah Hallway, there's an empty tub sitting there. So if you would like to grab a bag of candy next time you're at a store, I recommend Snickers. You do whatever you want. And you want to put them in that box, it's out there. The more we collect, the more prizes we'll be able to give to the kids, right? So that's out there. Pray about that. See what you want to do. You'll see that Eliza Broaddus is with us today. We are jumping into the Eliza Broaddus season. You see the information there. We talked about it last week. You can go and download the prayer guide from the link there, and there's also a place there that you can give to that, or you can also give in the offering plate as it comes around to that missions. I would encourage you to pray and to think about how God would have you come alongside this mission effort. They do a lot of amazing things, all right? Also out there, there's a tub. We're collecting for the Christmas shop throughout the year. September is pajamas, bedding, blankets, and pillows, all right? So that's out there. There's a couple things that didn't make the bulletin that I want to talk about. You probably saw this online. Hopefully you did, or you got the email. Side note, if you're not getting the emails, Jimmy, put your hand up. Jimmy Wainscott right there is the guy you need to talk to. Give him your email address, and you can get on that email list. And we don't abuse that. We don't spam you. You don't get something every day. You just get information that is useful, right? And so it's an update. It's difficult to communicate to 100 of you at the same time. That's a very good way. It goes right alongside the one call. So talk to Jimmy if you're not on that. But you saw that directly after the meeting, or after the fellowship this morning, we're going to have a meeting in the fellowship hall discussing the Eastern Kentucky mission trip, right? And what this next trip is going to look like. Probably going to look like more hands-on construction work. We're going to discuss that. If you are in any way interested, please join us right after the fellowship, or right after our meeting in the fellowship hall to hear more about that, right? We're trying to get some dates. We are in the initial stages here, so you want to get in on the initial stages, right? That's happening out there. Also, this is that didn't make the bulletin. We're going to give you some dates very soon, but we're going to offer a discipleship class. This is going to be for anyone who maybe is new to walking in fellowship with the Lord, but it's really open to anyone, no matter where you're at in your sanctification process. Bobby Colley is going to lead that class, probably going to be on Thursdays. More information coming soon. I would encourage you to pray about that. Maybe free up some time on Thursdays to join with us for a discipleship class. I think it's going to be very beneficial to all of us. Also, in light of the holiday, Labor Day tomorrow, right? We won't be having Sunday night service tonight. So you can spend time with your family, go cook out. If you're having a cookout, let me know. I'll come by, right? Let me know what you're cooking. Maybe I'll come by. I don't know. But that's really just to give you time to be with your family tonight, all right? So that, and then also, we have an anniversary to celebrate. 27 years. That's right, 27 years. There we go. Very good. You know, I get people, you know, when other pastors get together, and they kind of, sometimes they're like, why do you still do that? I'm like, well, the main reason I do that is to remind, number one, to give glory to God, and number two, to remind people, you can be married 27 years, right? It's a thing. It still happens, and it happens when a marriage is focused on Christ, right? So just very thankful for that, very thankful for the modeling of behavior that we get from so many of you that have been in marriages. And I know for some of you are like 27 years, they're just getting started. Amen to that, right? Amen to that. All right, I believe that's all that I have for us this morning. I'm going to pray for us, and then we will jump into worship. All right, let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for this morning. Lord, I'm so thankful for the men and women that have made time to gather with us this morning, those that were able to join with their small groups in Sunday school. Lord, just so thankful for that. Lord, as I was able to make it upstairs a little earlier this morning, I just heard your word being proclaimed in so many different classes and laughter and instruction. Lord, it just it really spoke to my heart and how thankful I am to be in fellowship with these men and women. Lord, just so dedicated to you. Lord, we just ask that as we come right now, we're able to set aside the distractions of our life, set aside the distractions of the week, and truly focus on you and be good producers of worship for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Let's stand this morning as we sing worships to our Lord. And one of my favorite songs, knowing that because of his promise, when our day comes, we'll fly away to that wonderful shore where there is only joy. Amen. Let us sing this morning.
Some glad morning when his life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, my
because we have victory in Jesus. Amen. Let us sing. Yeah.
singing, and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He saw me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me, yeah, I knew him, and all my love is through him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing
flood. Psalm 34, 12 to 14 says, "What man is there who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." Let us continue worshiping the Lord this morning and singing, "Because He Lives, We Can Do All That."
God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. To prove my Savior lives, because He lives, I can face tomorrow, because He lives, all fear is gone, because I know He holds. Because He lives, because He lives, I can face tomorrow, because He lives, all fear is gone. That ring.
Because he lives, we have a firm foundation in which we can build our life. So let us sing. Let us build our life on Christ, that solid rock.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. You alone. multitudes around me, and holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are, and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Amen. You may be seated.
Psalms 34, 15 through 16. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and the ears toward the cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Lord. Thank you for this time that we've been able to come together and just lift our voices up in worship, Lord. I'm just so thankful for that. I pray that the offering that we're about to receive, that it is used in the ongoing work of your kingdom, Lord. And be with Michael as he brings today's message. And just let us put away our distractions and turn our focus completely towards you for what you say through Michael, Lord. Just be with us throughout the rest of this day. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
All right, our kids will head off to children's church. We pray for those young people. We also pray for you, Bobby, and Lucy, as they go and serve that. And I would say this, is that if anyone else is looking for some place to plug in and maybe looking for a way to serve, that's a great way to do it. It's a great way to go minister to some young people and speak some truth into their lives. It's good, it's biblical, and it's for no other reason, it's good for them to see you modeling that behavior by preaching to them and teaching them about God. So we're very thankful, very blessed to have those individuals. Again, and I pray no one gets tired of me saying this because I'm not going to stop, is that just so thankful for our musicians and leading us this morning. I was thinking about, you know, we fired the choir back up. Side note, if you'd like to join the choir, we have plenty of seats in the choir, right? And in the choir, when Raphael stops singing, everyone gets quieter, right? Because he's, I can speak for the men at least, right? Because he's helping carry the men, and we're like, oh, I don't want to be so loud. But when he quit singing this morning, you guys got louder. So I'm so thankful that you all respond that way than the way the men in the choir respond. It sounded great. Just so thankful for all they do. Just very appreciative. We come here this morning picking up where we left off in 1 Peter. You know, one of the things that is interesting about today's set of scripture is this, is that it's really a mini summary of what we've been discussing over the last 3 weeks. And the truth is, if I thought your attention spans could handle it, right, it really should be like a four-hour discussion on 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. And some of you are thinking right now, thank God we didn't do that, right? You know, because we had to be considerate. I had to be considerate of your attention spans, but also had to be considerate of those serving in other areas of the church this morning. I am very confident if I ever did a four-hour sermon, whoever was in the nursery that morning would call for my resignation at the next business meeting, right? If you've ever been, Andrew's like, yes, I'd be the first one to say that. If you've ever been in the nursery, again, we're always looking for more people to serve in the nursery as well. If you've ever been in there for, you're watching the clock pretty close, like, when is this going to be over, right? It can get pretty rank in there. So we take it in bite-sized portions as best we can, but we're going to try to do, we want to honor that. You'll also notice this morning in our scripture reading, we didn't follow the normal pattern. I actually had to put a note to Steve so that he wouldn't think that I had lost it, but really, verses that you had read this morning to you from Raphael and then also from Emerson, right, is really what Peter is using as a reference to go back and to put another stamp of approval on verses 8 through 9. So what I want to do this morning is I want to read, sorry Steve for the curveball, I want to read verses 8 through 12 together in one chunk, and then we'll drill in on verses 10 through 12, all right? God's word says this, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Let me go into verse 10. For, and remember, we're going to come back and talk about this for, it's very important. For, whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you so much for this morning. Lord, I thank you for the opportunities that you give us to come and gather with like-minded believers. Lord, I'm so thankful for, as I was greeting some people this morning, Lord, a lot of visitors here this morning, just so thankful that they made time to gather with us on a Sunday morning to learn about the Lord, to fellowship with other believers. Lord, just so thankful for that. Lord, I'm so thankful for your word as we come to it today and how it continues to correct us and guide us and conform us more into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Just so thankful for that. And Lord, what I pray is that these words fall upon a fertile soil. They do a mighty work in our hearts and give us a better perspective, a better attitude of what it should look like to be a true follower of Christ and not just a Sunday follower of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, so like I said, really we're having a summary here, and we really get to the root of it in verse 10. And in what Peter, obviously writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, what he's saying here is, for whoever desires to love life. And I think I can speak for every person that's ever lived The desire is for a good life, for a loving life, for a life that is lived in joy and happiness. I just don't know. I'm sure there's some medical, mental conditions that would be counter to that. For the vast majority of us, we want to live a good life. We want to be searching the good life. And when we talk about that in Scripture, some of you probably don't recall this, but about 2 years ago, we did a walk through the book of Ecclesiastes. Some of you probably want to forget that because that was during COVID, and it was very, we were really struggling how to do church and how to be safe, and it was out in the fellowship hall, and, you know, it was, we made it through, though. And we saw in Ecclesiastes, the writer of Ecclesiastes is Solomon, right? And we see that's the entire book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon is trying to answer the question that we see there in verse 10. What is the secret? What is the answer to life? What is the meaning? Why am I here? And if you'll remember, Solomon went through many different things, right? He tried everything. He accrued power. He accrued wealth. He accrued gardens. He had these huge gardens. He even tried alcohol. He went after alcohol. He says, well, maybe if I just drank, I can drink myself to be happy. And the one that always sticks out to me, and I'll tell you why in a minute, is that he strove after women. If you'll remember, Solomon had 700 wives. Yeah, I know, JT. And 300 concubines. Right? And so, guys, if you think it's hard keeping up with one anniversary and one birthday, imagine 1,000, right? And the point he was trying to make there is that he thought that was going to bring him happiness. The folly of his, and that's why Ecclesiastes is such an amazing book because of the ending of it, is that he understands that the only thing that brings true joy is the Lord. It's not resting in stuff. It's not things that do that. And so one of the big mega themes of our message today is attitude, right? It's about attitude, man. Some of you have probably known people that have a bad attitude, right? There's probably times in life maybe you've had a bad attitude. I've had a bad attitude before. Melissa, don't say amen. But I've had a bad attitude before, right? But really living a joyful, right? And there's a big difference there between being joyful and being happy. Those are two very different things, right? We want to be striving after joy. Joy in what? Joy in the Lord, right? Solomon, basically, he's done it for you. Now, many of you, you tried to be a Solomon. You chase after many of those same things, right? And you too, I pray, figured out really quick, that's not what's joyful. That's not what makes me content. That can't be my meaning in life because you know what it is? It's never enough, right, Brad? You can never have enough of those things. You can never have enough power. You can never have enough money. You can never have enough alcohol. You can never, well, Solomon tried, he had 1,000 women, right? And even he says, it's all pointless. You remember what he says? He goes, there is nothing new under the sun. That's the theme that repeats in Ecclesiastes. If you want to read about that, 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 3, you can read about all his wives. If you think that sounds like a crazy number, look that up. There it is. But he strives after all of that, and he keeps working towards it. And I'm going to read some verses for us. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 8. Right? And remember, this is Solomon writing this. And I always struggle with this, and I didn't look it up today, but I don't know who the wealthiest person in the world is right now. Sometimes it's Jeff Bezos, and then he gives some money away, and then it becomes Elon Musk, and then he builds some rockets, and then it's somebody, whoever it is right now, whoever it is, right? He was them times a million, right? Scripture tells us when the Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon, and like she's a queen of her own kingdom, so she's crazy wealthy too. His possessions took her breath away when she saw it. She's like, this is crazy. This is what he says. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasures of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the sons of man. Right? And then he just goes on and he just says over and over again of how he just feels like a hamster on a wheel and how he's chasing after these things. And so Solomon proves for us in Ecclesiastes, right, Also, Solomon is the writer of Proverbs and also the Song of Solomon, and he talks about many of these same verses there, is that what are we striving after in life? If you're striving after the things of the world, Solomon's already done it for you. They end up empty. It's not enough. You can't fill that void. But the truth is this, is that we understand what can fill that void is relationship with Christ, right? That is the thing that brings us contentment. That's the thing that brings us true joy in life. And so I told you earlier when we looked there at verse 10 that 4 is very important, right? And so basically what that 4 is there for, right? Is it's to point us towards the Psalms, saying, not only am I writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but the Old Testament told you this as well. You were taught this in the Old Testament. A side note there, Ford told me this morning not to chase rabbits. I was like, Ford, I can't make you that promise. Is a rabbit to chase here is this. If anyone ever tells you, and I pray you don't hear this, I am confident none of your Sunday school teachers here say this. I know you've never heard me say this. If anyone ever tells you don't spend time in the Old Testament, man, I encourage you to get from underneath their teaching instantly. That is not right. That is heretical. For no other reason, because Christ taught from the Old Testament, and also many other writers of Scripture taught from the Old Testament. There is massive amounts of value there. And so maybe you're a writer in your book, in your Bibles. Maybe you're not. I wasn't, but now I am. Maybe I'll go back to not being. But on that 4 there, if you want to edit something there, you could also say this, because that's what Scripture says. So that 4 could also say that, because that's what Scripture says, right? And so it's another testament that Peter is using here to say, I know what I've told you has been difficult, right? We read that together. And I can remember, you guys have been here for the last 3 sermons. Not all of you, but a lot of you have been here for the last 3 sermons. And I've seen eyebrows go up. And I've seen people like make sense, like, oh my gosh, I can't do that. I've heard that, right? I've seen that reaction. I've had those reactions too, because this is very difficult Scripture. Not to understand, but to put into action. But the Old Testament speaks of this as well. And so the first thing that he's saying there, right? I think we all can agree we're all desiring to love life and see good days. We want to know what that is. The first thing he says is this. Let him, and the psalmist is saying this, not Peter. He's just quoting the psalmist. Remember that. Let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. And some of you are like, man, didn't we just have this lesson? Yes, we just talked about this last week. So I'm not going to give you another 30 minutes on the dangers of your tongue and what kind of trouble it can get you into. I'll just leave you with the illustration that we spoke about then. Just remind you, when James is writing of that, he says your tongue is like a spark. And imagine how that spark, and it happens here. It happened in Eastern Kentucky not too long ago, where that one single spark burns down millions of acres. Right? It's firing up right now out in the West Coast. A single spark, sometimes a backfire from a car or a motorcycle, a lot of times, sometimes an arsonist, but a single spark can destroy millions of acres. That's the analogy that James used when he's talking about your tongue and what it can do for you, and also the trouble it can cause for you. And so when we're referencing here, one of the ways, if you want to see good days, if you want to live days that are joyful and serving the Lord, is you have to control your tongue and the speech that you say. It matters what you say to people. You heard me say last week, one of the biggest lies you've ever been told in your life is sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie, man. It is a lie, because they can. So we have to learn to control our tongue. The psalmist tells us in the 141st Psalm, chapter 3, and this is the psalmist saying this, and we should pray this as well. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. He's praying. The psalmist is praying. Somehow set a guard on the sides of my mouth so it controls what comes out of my mouth. Anyone in here ever said something and just wished, like in a cartoon, you could grab those words and cram them right back in? I have. Thank you, Irv, for that. Oh, we got hand raised. Thank you. Good. Right? I've experienced that. And not like years in the past, like a couple of days ago, right? We say something and we just want to cram it back in and be like, where was the guard, right? There's something that's just honest here. We have to be very careful of what kind of speech we put into our head, what kind of speech we listen to, what you're reading, what you're thinking about, the TV shows you're watching. All of this affects the type of speech that comes out of your mouth, right? I just don't need to spend a ton of time. Remember, today is a summary of the last 3 weeks, right? So it's very obvious. Scripture is teaching us the value of our speech and how dangerous our speech can be and how we should use it to God's glory. A very consistent theme that runs throughout Scripture is that it matters how you act every day. Right? You heard in my prayer, and I said, not just a Sunday Christian, but an everyday Christian. Right? The purpose of that is this. Man, you can come here today, and you can put on, Raphael, is that a new shirt? It's nice. I thought it was new, right? Got a new shirt on, put the new shirt on, come and wear that, and on Monday, is it new shoes too? Phew, I missed the shoes. Sorry about that. And you can dress up, and you can play the part, and you can come and sit there, and some of you maybe even be able to stay awake while I'm talking, right? And you go Monday, and you're like, it's game on. I'm going to live my life and do what I want from Monday to Saturday. And maybe on Sunday, I'll come back. Maybe I'll even go to Brad's Sunday school class, and I'll put these clothes back on, and I'll act like a Christian. Unbiblical. Just completely unbiblical. When you sign on, and when I say sign on, I mean when you commit your life to the Lord as your Savior. Remember, He's already your Savior. You're just living in submission to Him as your Savior. As you commit to Him in that, you are putting this on 24/7, 7 days a week. You know, I'm doing math. I was like, it's the wrong time to do it. 12 months a year, 365 days. It's every day you're doing this. And so it matters what you say, it matters what you read, it matters what you do. It really, really matters. Not only does it matter to God, it matters to your sanctification, right? And Steve, don't put the graph up. I'm going to reference the graph. Steve's fast on that. My favorite graph is that if you want that trend to generally be to the left and up, you have to do what he says right there in the first part of that scripture. You have to guard your mouth. You have to guard your tongue. You have to be careful what you're consuming, right? We go on there, right? In this next set there, is it says, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. We've covered that. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Now, this is where when you get into the Greek, and I have to use references for this. I don't speak Greek by any means. Is that a lot of your translations probably say flee. Flee from evil. And this is a huge umbrella, but the truth is this. You have to actively be choosing to turn and flee away from evil, right? And that's a big umbrella term. What are we talking about there? You guys know what I'm going to say first, right? Who wants to guess? Anybody? Who said it? Who said idolatry? You got it right. Yes, idolatry. Very right, right? I'll just give you this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14. Very simple. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. And just quick, Ford, I told you I wasn't going to promise to chase rabbits. Let me just talk about idolatry just for a second, the importance of it. Driving to church this morning, I didn't see any Azarus poles in anybody's yards. I didn't see any balls. I didn't see any statues of a lowercase g god or anything like that. But I do see this at times. I see people chasing after sports. I see people chasing after careers. I see people committing to everything but God a lot of times. And I just had this conversation with a brother in Christ not too long ago when he was reading scripture and it talks about God being jealous. And he was like, man, how is God jealous? Like, what does that mean? And we had a great conversation about how God is righteously jealous and that we are not righteously jealous. We can't be because our sin nature gets in the way. But God is righteously jealous for whom? For you. He will not accept any position in your life except number one. And so when you insert other things in before him, you are setting yourself up for calamity. It is going to happen. And it may not be a massive trial, but you can be a slow degradation between your relationship between you and Christ. And I'm telling you right now, you don't want that. Because you'll be 20, 30, 40 years will go by, and you're like, what have I done with my life? You've chased after everything else in the world but Christ. And it's left you really with nothing. It's left you with nothing. All right? Another one. That's another big evil that we see in today's world is the love of money. Probably the second most misquoted verse in Scripture. Like the first is Philippians, like I can do all things. I'm like, oh, every time I see that, I'm like, oh my gosh, no, it's wrong. The love of money. It doesn't say money, right? Steve and I were just talking. Money is just an inanimate thing, right? It's not paper. It's actually cloth. Ask me more if you want to be bored to death about what money's made up of. But it's actually cloth, right? It's not inherently evil. But what Scripture clearly says is the love of it, right? Again, falling under the umbrella of idolatry. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 10 through 11. If you're going along with the reading plan that we're doing together as a church, if you're not, that's fine too. I hope you're reading your scriptures every day. You've been spending time in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, right? The pastoral epistles. Paul writing to Timothy tells him this, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things." Right? See the thread there? Turn away, flee, same thing. "Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness." Again, money's important. I'm thankful for the air conditioning that just came on, right? I'm thankful that money's being used to pay for that air conditioning. But the reality is, if that becomes your God, if that becomes your idol, train wreck coming. It is coming. Again, reference Ecclesiastes if you don't believe me. Look that up there, right? And so, really, there's just all kinds of evil that falls into that. And what we have to do is we have to intentionally turn away from this evil. You have to flee from evil. You have to stop putting yourself in positions to where falling into old evil ways is easier. Flee from evil. Turn away from evil. This is one of the frustrations, and man, I'm right there in this camp, but we imagine for a second, go in your mental image here, a record. And you're like, how old are you? Records. Yeah, records. I know what records are, right? Let's imagine God is at the center where you put it on the peg and it turns around. Unfortunately, so many of us as sinful people, we don't want to live right there in the center of that record with God. We want to be as far on the edge as we can, but still see the center. I want to keep as many things of the world as I enjoy, but I want to still be with God. Scripture just tells us that is a recipe for disaster as well. Right? You talked about it this morning in your small group today, talking about James, talking about trials, talking about how many of these trials that you encounter are self-imposed. A lot of these things you are doing to yourselves with your poor choices. Right? You don't want to be on the edge and be like, man, I'm close enough to God, but I'm still living life for myself. It's not what Scripture teaches. We want to be striving. We want to be towards the center of that, right? Again, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. You tell me if this fits, people. "For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents." I thought I'd get an amen. "Ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving God, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than the lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power." Look at the last thing it says. "Avoid such people." Right? So Paul's kind of giving Timothy a little bit of a pass there. He's saying, hey, I'm not using this to describe you. The truth is, for many of us, this does describe us at some point in our lives. But the point of this set of passage here is he's telling him you need to avoid these people. I'm going to tell you something that somebody told me this once, and man, it hit me hard, and it took me a while to appreciate that, and I'm confident you all are all smarter than me. But the advice I received from somebody is like, if you're the most sanctified person you know, you need some better friends, right? And at that time, I'm like, I was like, I don't know who this person is thinking me this, right? I'm working hard at being sanctified. And then I realized the point. He was telling me the people I was hanging around weren't helping me. Now, was I helping them? Absolutely. I think that I was. That's what I was trying to do. I was trying to speak truth in their life. There is a place for that, right? We're called to do that. But you need to understand Scripture is hyper crystal clear here, is that you don't need to be hanging out people that are being described there. How hard, just think about this, how hard it would be for you to find someone who's a lover of self, right? The number one type of idolatry is idolatry of self. You want pleasures and you want to do what you want to do, or I want to go do this or I want to go do that. Lovers of self, that's the first thing he says. How hard would it be to find somebody who's proud or arrogant or a lover of money, right? Disobedient to their parents. It's not hard to find these people. Scripture tells you, avoid them. Don't hang out with them. That's what he's saying here. Flee these people. Again, let's just discuss this real quick. I should have done this already, but remember the context of who Peter's writing to, right? He's writing to Christians, to the five churches that have been dispersed. They're now living in an environment that looks very different to a godly environment, right? They're living amongst what they would say Gentiles, some would call pagans. They're living amongst people that are living for the world. And what he's telling them here is that you can't be of the world. You have to be careful. Long story short, and you guys are like, man, why didn't you just say this to begin with? Well, I'm a preacher. I don't say things briefly a lot of times. It's this, man, be careful who your friends are. Be careful who you're hanging out with. Be careful where you're spending time. I'll go far to say this. Be very careful what you're spending time on the internet. Be very careful the type of music you listen to. I'll go as far as say this, and hey, I'm guessing some people are going to disagree with this, and that's okay. Be careful even when you listen to Christian songs on Christian radio. Be careful what they're teaching you, because they're not all songs that we would sing in this gathering of God's people. It matters what you put in. Be careful, right? So we continue on here, right? Then he makes a transition there, and it says, we are to do good. I love this. I love when I can pull out a little bit of science from my many years of sitting underneath that teaching, is that the only vacuum is space, right? And what I mean by that is that nature will always fill a vacuum. Nothing goes unoccupied. And that's the same for your sanctification, right? You are either doing this. You're either growing in the Lord or you're receding in the Lord. There is no such thing as I'm just treading water, right? The biology word for that is homeostasis. Don't write that down. It doesn't matter, right? I 4 years, I've got to say it every now and then, right? There is no such thing as that for a Christian. It does not exist. You're either growing or you're shrinking in the Lord. And that's a question you should ask the Lord in your prayer. Are you growing or shrinking? I can help you with that because sometimes it's obvious, but sometimes it's not. Are you growing? And if we want to grow, right? If we're not going to do evil, we got to fill that with something, right? Because we're obviously going to fill it with one thing or the other. And what Scripture teaches here is we're supposed to fill it with what? By doing good, right? What does that look like? We want to live a holy and righteous life. What does holy mean? Set aside, special. We want to live a life focused on God. Right? We want to live a righteous life. We want to do things that are good and right according to what? The world? If anyone says amen to that, I will come behind this pulpit. No, according to God. Right? That's one of the things I made this note, is that the writer here, Peter, uses it a lot, but you have to understand the context. When he says good, he's not meaning good according to the world. He's meaning good according to the model of Scripture. More specifically, good compared to Christ. You ask yourself, you think you're doing good. You ask yourself. I ask myself all the time about that, like, oh man, I got so much more work to do, right? You know, one of the things we say is that, what are we? We're all works in progress. We're all trying to grow in our sanctification. And one of the main ways you can do that, I said main ways, one of the important ways you can do that is by doing good and by serving people. And praying for people. He's already talked about this, right? Praying for those in authority over you, right? Not just, remember the big three things we've talked about, right? We've talked about a government. We've talked about our employers. We've talked about our family relationship. One of the ways you do good is pray for them and serve them. When Melissa and I got married, we went through marriage counseling. Some of you say, like, well, you needed more, Michael. Well, maybe we did. I don't know. But one of the things, the truest things that I took out of that is that one of the ways to have a successful marriage, obviously, is to stay focused on Christ. No doubt about that. But another very easy way to have a successful marriage, try to outserve your spouse. Now, does that always happen? No. Right? But we're trying to well, Raphael, you're dangerous waters there, Raphael. I'm just telling you, buddy. Somebody call Raphael later this evening. Make sure he's alive. That's one of the ways we do this, is we strive after good. We flee from evil. We strive after good by acts of service, by prayer, by being there for people, by listening to people. Do good, right? Not worldly good, godly good. Let me give you some verses here. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. Youth, I know you guys are experts in the book of Hebrews. Have y'all made it to 13 yet? Probably not. Yeah, probably not. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. What's he talking about there? Sharing? A lot of times sharing provisions, right? You read the Acts church, they were giving back and forth, they were sharing. They were a true church. I think here at Dallasburg, I think we do a good job of modeling that as well, sharing with one another. But the most important thing he's talking about there is what we need to share is we need to share Christ. We need to share Christ with people, right? Because by sharing Christ, it leads to the next thing that we talk about there, right? Do evil, do good, let him seek peace and pursue it. The truest peace you'll ever find in your life is a relationship with Christ. It speaks of that in Scripture. It gives you peace. Again, I don't know all of your personal testimonies, but I'm pretty confident in saying this. Most of us in here, if not all of us, have sought peace in everything but Christ at one point. You guys have heard me say, if you ever have a shirt on with Scripture, don't think you need to hide it from me. But so often, Scripture is just ripped out of context, and it doesn't make sense, and it's teaching wrong points. And somebody gave me this shirt once, and you guys have heard me talk about this before. I was very thankful, and I threw it away as soon as they weren't around. And it said, "If all else fails, read your Bible." And I'm like, oh my gosh, the worst Scripture. I didn't even keep it around to clean stuff with. I just threw it right in the trash. I'm like, it's horrible, right? And so the truth is, many of you have sought peace in everything else, and then after all that, just like Solomon, you're like, well, then I'll just try God. I mean, amen that you found God, right? Amen to that. But the truth is, how many blessings did you miss out on in your life as you were chasing after the world? Because, and we'll get to that here in a minute, the very end there is we talk about blessings from God. Right? You want to receive blessings from God, you got to be inside God's will. And just really simply, we don't need a lot of theology on this. If you're chasing after the things of this world, I can tell you right now, church, you are not in God's will. You're not living on what you're not living according to what he desires for you. Never forget this, man. God loves you, right? Are there consequences to disobedience? Absolutely. I know at church we don't talk about that a lot. Well, we should. But the fact is, God loves you. And what he wants for you is what's best in life. And what he knows what's best in your life is when you live within his will. And when you live outside of his will, this is when we start having drama. We start having troubles, right? And so I ask you this. Are you a peaceful person? I mean, are you? I mean, do you seek after peace? Are you trying to make peace? Are you trying to be nice to people, right? And everyone's going like, oh, yeah, man, that describes me. Does it? Does it? I don't know. I mean, I always think of this story, right? You know, the Scripture talks about being a peacemaker. We're called to be peacemakers. A buddy of mine, his son was attending a Christian school, and it happens. It happened in our family is that, you know, one of your kids encounters a bully. And old school ways of dealing with bullies is, man, you just give it right back to them. Side note, that ain't biblical. But that's the advice, right? That's the advice my buddy gave to his son. And his son has started bawling, crying. He's like, what is wrong with you? He goes, but Scripture tells me I'm supposed to be a peacemaker. And you're telling me to do something opposite. Amen to that young man. He understood the difference between the world's reaction to that and what Scripture's reaction to that is, right? And here's another truth, and I feel like I put an asterisk in my notes to make sure and say this. Understand this, man. You can only control what you can control, right? You may want to be a peacemaker. I pray everyone in here this morning, scoreboard says 71. 71 of us, you know, want to be peacemakers. I pray that for you. But man, you might encounter someone who is the opposite of opinion of that, right? They want to be obstinate. They enjoy fighting. Anyone ever known that person? Don't point at anybody. Rafi, don't point at nobody, right? Right? Yeah, exactly. You've known those people that just, they thrive off the drama. They want things to be wrong, right? The truth is this. You're not going to make them be peaceful. But what you can control in that situation is you can be peaceful. You can do all you can do. You can extend kindness to them. You can, what Scripture tells us, you can pray for them, right? You can hope that the Holy Spirit does a work in their life so they become more in tune with the Holy Spirit, so they understand what God desires for them. But realize, you can't make everyone be a peacemaker. But what you can control is your attitude and how you interact with them. I could go back and read it all for you again. We've read it. We've already read it once. What did it say there in verses 8 through 9? Right? Brotherly love, humble mind, do not repay evil for evil. We could go on and on. If you want to be a peacemaker, you got to do those things. Right? And that's what he's saying here, and he's referencing the Psalms there. That's what he's telling them, is you have to be a peacemaker, you have to do these things, right? And we go on here with the scripture, and it says this, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, when we read this set of scripture, we have to be careful with this, right? Because does God see everything? Absolutely, right? God is omnipresent. He sees everything. But what the writer here and what God wants us to understand about this is that if you, and I said that this morning in my Sunday school class, anyone in here ever prayed a prayer that didn't get answered? Yes. Everyone says yes to that, right? JT, no? Now let's look at it. We'll talk about it here in a second. We're going to talk about that, right? It's the truth is this, is that if you pray for something that is outside of God's will, he's not going to do that. It's not going to happen because it's counter to what God knows is right. And so the purpose of our relationship with God and the purpose of our prayers is this, to put our heart more in alignment with God's will. I shared this morning, if you've driven on any roads in Owen County lately, you've probably had your car's tires go out of alignment. Maybe some uneven wear on your tires. It happens to you as well. Your heart gets out of alignment. And it becomes, unfortunately, oftentimes more aligned with the world. And you're not a peacemaker. And you're not guarding your tongue. And you're just acting like everyone else. And then you come to me, maybe, or maybe you send me a message, or you talk to someone else who's speaking truth in your life. You're like, I don't understand why God's not answering my prayers. Obviously, you say it a lot more lovingly than this. But you're like, it's because you're living outside of God's will. That's what he's saying right there, right? It's obviously God sees everything, but the truth is, if you want to receive his richness of blessings, you need to be living inside of God's will. And so that's another real obvious way to check on something, is that if you're consistently praying things and they're consistently just the exact opposite, that's time to check your heart alignment. How is your heart aligning right now with God's will? Let me give you some scripture. The Apostle John spoke a lot about this. John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, if you live in me, if you submit to me, and my words abide in you, means you're following what Scripture says, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Asterisk on that, if it's God's will. We go on, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 through 15, he kind of clarifies this a little bit. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Perfect reference back to what we've already talked about. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. So what Peter's saying here, what John is saying here, what God is saying here, right? Because God is the author of Scripture. What God is saying is, if you want to receive the blessings from me, you have to live within my will. God is not going to bless you if you're living outside his will. That is not how God operates. I know that's how a lot of you want him to operate. Unfortunately, a lot of you may have been taught that's how he operates. But God is not, ages are close enough. God is not Santa Claus. He's not a made-up thing. It's not like, I ask for this, I ask for this, and I get this, and I get this. That is not what God is, right? God is sovereign. God is going to do what God wants to do. And if you want God to bless you, you need to be living within his will. Very straightforward, right? I always share this with people. I remind myself of this all the time. God's response to your prayers are three ways. They're either yes, they're no, or not right now. Right? And we have to rest in that. That's one of the things I tell people all the time. That's why understanding the sovereignty of God is so important. Because you have to rest in that. You have to rest in understanding that God wants to bless me, but only if I'm in his will. That's one of the things, and I try to pray this all the time, and sometimes I don't pray this and I mess it up, is that we pray for things. I think that's very right to pray for things. At the end of the service today, we've got two things to pray for, two special prayers. We're going to talk about those here in a minute. But the truth is this, also pray for the strength to accept God's will if it's opposite to what I'm praying. Right? Praying for healing, I think, is a very natural thing. My guess is everyone here has prayed for healing for someone and they were called to be with the Lord. Right? So it's not wrong that you prayed for their healing. It was just outside of God's will. So also pray for the strength to accept God's will and his decisions in that. What did I title this? The Good Life. Okay, The Good Life. It would have been really easy to give today's summary messages, verses 10 through 12, the discussion about attitude. Right? Attitude is so important in life. And, you know, obviously we talk about everything from a biblical perspective, a biblical worldview here, but really even from a secular worldview, attitude matters, right? And I was reading some stuff, and I'll leave you with this, and then we'll close in prayer, is that we have buzzards and we have hummingbirds, right? JT, I didn't look at you when I said buzzard, right? We have buzzard and hummingbirds. Buzzards look for rotting flesh when they fly around. That's what they're looking for, and that's what they find. Hummingbirds are looking for nectar. They're looking for sweetness. Ask me later how I know that. I drank some once. Wasn't pretty. But that's what they're searching for. The truth is this, church. You'll find what you're searching for. If you're searching for negative, rotting things in life, you'll find negative, bad things in your life. If you're searching after the positive things in your life, and what we're discussing, Christ, if you're searching after those, he will continue to reveal himself to you. Your attitude matters. Do you have a biblical, Christ-centered attitude, or do you have a worldly-centered attitude? Scripture, I've probably said this a million times this morning, Scripture is very clear on this. What he desires for you and what leads to true joy is a Christ-centered life, not a world-centered life. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you so much for this morning, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this scripture. Lord, I thank you for the reminder of the value of the Old Testament, not only to the writers of the New Testament, but also to us. So thankful for the Old Testament. Lord, I'm thankful for the truth that we discussed today. Lord, I'm thankful for the reminder that it matters what we chase after in life. It matters how we conduct ourselves in our speech, in our thoughts, in our prayers. Lord, but I'm encouraged what Scripture tells us about your blessings. And that if we are residing in your will, and Lord, I pray everyone with us this morning and those with us at home have a desire to reside in your will, that blessings will naturally flow out of that. But it's also a reminder, Lord, that if we are living outside of your will, blessings will not be received. And so, Lord, we're so thankful for this reminder. We're so thankful for your love. We're thankful for your correction in our behaviors. And, Lord, we just pray that if anyone is with us this morning and we were talking about peace and what that looks like, and they don't know the peace that rests in your Son, Jesus Christ, it's how he was buried and raised again 3 days later and now sits at the right hand of his Father. That peace that can come from that relationship, Lord, I pray they come forward right now and we can have that conversation so they too can enter into that peace of that relationship. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Let us stand and respond in singing, "There are 10,000 reasons to worship our Lord." His holy name. Sing.
I'll worship your holy name.